Hello, hello. My name is Andres Villazuel, and welcome to my podcast. Now, today we're going to be talking about the first sword ever made until the Anglo-Saxon period. And then the question we'll be asking, is there a better weapon, or I guess material for a sword for Beowulf to use? Because in the story of Beowulf, he broke his sword because he was just too strong. Now, let's just get into it, right? So presumably, like, the sword was called by a lot of people the queen of the weapons. There was a lot of merit in this effort of as the sword throughout the ages possessed beauty in its many forms and art, which have been adorned. It took a lot of skill and sophisticated knowledge to make a sword, and also it took a lot of skill and knowledge to know how to wield the sword efficiently. The sword has a very long history, and throughout times has evolved and morphed into many forms. As a result, it can be classified and grouped into many groups and subgroups. Now, before I go on, my favorite sword will probably have to be the katana. One of the biggest differences between your regular sword and a katana is that it's just the way that it's held, or I guess in your, like, where it's stowed away. Either way, I like the katana. I like the way it looks, the grip, the weight, the feel, everything. But So the sword is basically a weapon that had been developed mainly for inflicting cutting wounds, although stabbing was important, especially in Roman times in Europe. The sword is often attributed to the old world seven civilizations and the peoples who inherited the weapon. The sword was one of the main weapons in Egypt, Africa, Chaldea, Asia, and pre-Hellenic Greece, Rome, and Europe. It is possible to classify the sword according to geographical spread, Oriental and Asian, European, and African. It is also important to note that in this classification, some swords in Oriental and Elastic group and the African group oriented in Egypt. The Oriental types of swords evolved to a very distinguished form compared with European swords. The metal sword failed to develop on American and Australian continents. In South and Central America, there was the wooden sword, or macana, used by native cultures. The Aztecs studied the wooden sword with obsidian blades to create a cutting edge. Now, saying this off the script, a wooden sword, when you think about it, a wooden sword, right? And you see mostly people mainly use it as practice, wooden swords, and probably today's date, right? You have one sport, you know, fencing, right? Now doesn't really use swords in a way, but they use like a rapier type way, but still like a lot thinner. And using wooden swords, I don't know if that's very effective, right? Probably leave like a bruise or two and probably a lot of splinters, but I'm not sure. I'm just thinking about it right now. To classify all swords, it takes a lot of classes to get the general view of the swords used throughout the world. Some of the swords are so eccentric that belong to their own eccentric class that they have to be mentioned separately. I didn't know there was just this many swords until, like, doing some research about this. It's kind of exciting. The typical European sword is one with a straight and pointed blade. I guess that's like the common one. I want to call it the common sword that you find almost anywhere. Whereas the curved sword was developed in the Middle East and Asia. It is probable that both swords originated in Egypt. Both types of swords retain their characteristics and over time evolve into many different forms. It is possible to classify swords into the following groups. 1. The two-edged straight sword. 2. the one-edged sword, straight or curved. 3, the one-edged spud-ended sword. 4, the curved sword with expanding blade. 5, the curved pointed sword edge on the inner edge. 6, the Egyptian falchion, or falchion, I don't know how to say it. And 7, like the eccentric types, flamberge, executioner swords, etc. My favorite sword, I don't know which one it is from the list I just read. If you have seen Star Wars, if you've seen Kylo Ren's lightsaber, you have like the two guard rails, I guess you could call it, and then like the actual Phasma blade. Well, all three are Phasma blades, but anyways, in terms of using metal guard rails, I guess I would like to call it. Those are my favorite types of swords, and I've seen some videos of them saying like, oh, if Kylo Ren was going to use this, his hand would have been cut off. It was kind of true, because like, you need probably a specific style to be able to use that kind of sword. But either way, I digress. So swords can be also divided into single-handed group and double-handed groups. The double-handed sword is any sword that requires the use of both hands. This group includes such as the Europeans' long swords, lansquenet flambers, Scottish great claymore sword. I'm sorry, some of these names I can't say. Kringsmesser, Japanese adachi, etc. A single-handed sword was a short sword with a handle that would only accommodate grip with only one hand. Now, I have to base off this off of video games, right? And I'm sorry that I have to do that. In some video games, double-handed swords are very powerful but yet slow. So it takes a lot of like energy and takes a lot of time to be able to hit your target with the sword, especially if it's a long sword. But with a short sword, you don't need to use a lot of energy. It's very fast and you're most likely to hit the target. But the thing is, since it's like a short sword, basically, then it's not a lot of damage, right? So thinking here, probably like the European long swords may be a little bit probably good on, you know, in terms of damage wise, it's probably good. But either way, let's get back to it. So the two-edged straight sword. The two-edged straight sword can be further divided into two subcategories. Number 1, leaf-shaped blade. Number 2, the straight-shaped blade. The leaf-shaped blade sword featured a blade that widened usually at the middle of the blade and ended in a point. The straight-shaped blade sword featured a blade that had a straight edge and ended with either a point or rounded point. The leaf-shaped sword was predominant during the Bronze Era and was also predominant in many different areas among various cultures. Leaf-shaped swords were found in Spain, Italy, Greece, Egypt, and even in Britain, Scandinavia, and other parts of Europe. The dominance of this blade shape during the Bronze Era is probably due to the fact that it was easier to achieve this type of blade with bronze. It is also probable that the shape of the sword originated from the successful fusion of spearhead and dagger. The Greek Xiphos sword is an example of the leaf-shaped sword. The average length of a leaf-shaped sword is about 22 inches. However, there were specimens found that measure up to 32 inches. The leaf-shaped sword blades were most common during the Bronze Era. However, there were also bronze swords with a straight and tapered blades. The early Roman swords were also leaf-shaped. The leaf-shaped sword is the most dominant sword of the Bronze Era. The sword was excellent for cutting, but also offered incredible thrusting force. The first Roman swords were leaf-shaped, but with development of iron swords, they evolved to the straight blade. The good examples of Roman traditional period are the swords found in Hallstatt, Australia, the straight edge. Iron Roman sword was the weapon which prevalent during the most of the times of the empire. The Roman gladius was about 22 inches in length during the early times. The Roman spatha was longer, and it was probably adopted from Spain or any other area. So, like, I guess, like, most of the swords back then, I guess we'll like call it the first century, was made by bronze and then evolved into iron, or yeah, iron ingots, whatever. So the next development in iron swords was the dawn of the late Celtic period that was characterized by swords featuring straight edge iron blades that tapered from tang and finished with a rounded point. Some swords had iron or bronze handles, right? And, you know, searches as these occurred in many places in Europe. The finest of the straight swords were found in Scandinavia. These early Middle Age Iron Age... Man, I feel like I'm saying iron really weird. Scandinavian swords varied in the regards to the handle, pommel, and handguard, but later merged into the now famous Viking-type swords. So I just want to take this minute just to say something. So I got this new game. It's called Sea of Thieves, right? I'm playing this game, and... the swords on there is pretty cool because of the hand guard, where like in the hand there's like this section where it protects the hand, and it can be used as like a fighting tool if you don't like oh my god, this sword, and you just want to punch somebody. It's like effective, I think. I don't know if it was used for that, but it was pretty cool. But anyways, the Viking swords were an example in craftsmanship and swordsmanship. Many of them featured lavish ornaments on their guards and pommels. The handles were often encrusted with precious stones and metals. The Viking sword featured a straight-edged blade that tapered slightly and ended with a rounded point. The swords on average measured between 34 to 44 inches in length. Damn, that's probably... Wow. And you think about a foot long, like from a foot long from Subway, and you're like, "Ooh, this is big, but 34 to 44 inches, whole lot of Subway right there." But anyways, the straight sword pattern began to change in the 9th century. The main change was the narrower blade compared with the length of the sword. Also, the hilts become longer and reminiscent of classic cross guards. The palm of the sword was heavier and rounded, and often highly ornate. Some of the swords during this transition period featured some of the Viking sword features and some of the new cruciform characteristics. This transitional sword continued to evolve into the knight sword or arming sword, which featured the classic cruciform characteristic. I think this is what I was talking about. Yeah, the arming sword was a double-edged, single-hand sword that was very common during the Middle Ages between the 11th and 14th century. The arming sword was standard sword carried into battles. This sword was light and had an excellent balance, and the sword was designed more for cutting than thrusting. The length of the sword varied, measuring between 30 to 32 inches. With time, knights began to wear heavy armor, and this was one of the reasons for continued evolution of the sword. Larger and longer swords were needed to develop either blunt trauma through the armor or pierce the armor. This led to the develop of the long sword. Now, that was from the first sword to the 11th century, which is the Anglo-Saxon period. Now, the question we're going to try to answer is, what type of metal can be used to withstand Beowulf's super strength? Now, it says here in my features that titanium blade with a tungsten carbide edge as would be similar in overall density to a steel blade while having the strength of titanium and sharpness, as well as the edge of retention of tungsten. Now, do I think that's good? I don't know. I don't know a lot about swords or materials. But also says here in the one of the best katanas, where a 1095 carbon steel katanas can take and hold much a keener edge than katanas with lower carbon content. This carbon content lends itself to a credibly strong sword, making the 1019 carbon steel one of the best metals for steel. The best spring steel for katanas are either the 5160 or 9260, which I'm pretty sure is these numbers are mean for different type of metals. So the most common and best ones are probably are the stainless steel, high carbon steel, and two steel. Spring steel and Damascus steel are varieties of commonly used in sword, making the stainless steel varieties being the most common. So with the titanium build with the tungsten carbide edge, it's a terrible material, right? Even an alloy form, the titanium is basically an over glorified aluminum. It is light and strong for its weight, but it is strong and is not strong in the steel. It's just lighter. The sword would be pearly for sure. Even basic cutting would damage the steel. So titanium is a bad material to use with. But I guess with the titanium blade with a tungsten carbide edge, meaning there's something different going on. I think Beowulf should just get some brass knuckles. Like, I'm being honest here. But something that just popped in my mind also is like, what about meteorite, right? I hate to say this again, but from the show Avatar, a meteor came out from the sky, and Sokka, one of the characters from that show, he uses that meteor and makes a sword out of it. And it's basically a space sword. So meteorites, right, they have to come through the atmosphere, and they're burning up, and it's like, and they crash into the land, so it has a hold up big deal. So is it possible to use a meteorite sword, a sword made out of meteorite? I don't know if it would be possible back then, as I'm just searching this up right now. Also the case of like diamond swords, it's not really like a good sword either, because it, like, it's, so the diamond obviously has the highest density, but obviously, like, I think it's a 10 on the scale, but it could easily shatter, right? So here we go. So would meteorite be a good sword? So it can be fairly tough. It says here, when properly made, it can produce a sword that can hold its own against a modern steel blade, but it's definitely not some kind of super steel. Meteors also vary amount of iron contact. Maybe are many are just, okay, so never mind. So basically it's just a little bit stronger, not really strong. By the way, that's a bit of a question for later. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a good day. I'm sorry this went over the 15-minute mark. But have a good night and a good day.